In a moment, we're going to continue in the direction that the Lord has really been leading me, and that is to walking in the Spirit, differentiating between the soul and the Spirit. The Word of God is a discerner, isn't it? It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder, and it divides between the soul and the Spirit, right? The joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts, our motivations. So we're going to continue to focus on this until the Lord says otherwise. My heart sunk last week when I saw the snow, and I was thinking, oh, wow. You know, in New England, you just go to work when it snows, but here it's like, oh, no, we've got an inch of snow. The blizzard of the Northwest 2014, you know, and but anyways, it's okay. We don't want anybody to get hurt on the road. But you know, we're just going to stay on this until we get it. You know, that's how I'm a little slow sometimes learning. And so I've got to keep repeating and reminding myself of things. And you got to stay. How many know you got to stay in the book? You got to stay looking into the mirror of God's word. Or we'll forget who we are. We can very easily get sidetracked. We can end up on a rabbit trail. And sometimes we're on a rabbit trail thinking that we're on God's trail. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? We can get off course. And sometimes there is a way that appears right. Seems right, right, to a man. Well, it's not right. It's the way of death. You know, the way of death is really our way. Like the song, who was it that sang the song, I Did It My Way? Yeah, that's the problem. It's not a good idea, folks, to do it your way. We need to know what His way is, because His way is the way to life. And there are a few who find it. Is anybody besides myself here that God is working in right now? That wasn't a trick question, right? Yeah. How many have been going through some tests right now in your life? Show of hands, you're going, okay, well, if your hand isn't up, it will be soon. We go through tests, and tests give us a testimony. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. You can't have a testimony without a test. You can't be promoted unless you pass the tests. And in the kingdom, that's the way it is. God is doing something. He's working a work in us. And if you're His child, you know, you're going to undergo some discipline by the Lord. And we don't always like discipline, but it's necessary for growth, for development, for character, right? And but if all we can see is the discipline, we will miss the big picture. If we just focus on the situation at hand, we can miss God's picture of it and what God is doing in it. And sometimes we get bogged down. Has everybody been bogged down in your problems before? Okay, good. I'm in good company here. And you can just get so wrapped up in what's wrong and what's broken and what's happening that sometimes we're questioning, God, are you here? Are you there? Do you know what's going on in my life? And we don't understand sometimes, or we don't realize sometimes, that God is actually doing something in that situation, but we don't see Him in it. But we need to understand His ways so that we don't misinterpret what's happening to us. We need to know His ways. We're familiar with our ways, and we all have our ideas, our opinions, right? There is many opinions as there are people today, right here. But we need to know His ways. Because if we judge our life based upon our ways, it's not going to make sense to us. Is that making sense? If we see things through God's perspective, through the Word of God, we can then have a different outlook on everything, and understanding that all things are working together for my good. If I'm called to the Lord, if I'm His child, amen, if I love Him, it's going to work together. And, you know, I was thinking about how many times we have prayed really contrary to the will of God for God to get us out of something that is a process to develop us. And we've begged and we've cried and we've moaned and we've complained. And come on, have you ever done that? Sometimes, you know, it's because we don't have the right perspective. And it's because we don't know His ways that we can get into that funk sometimes. And if we're not staying, again, in the Word, we can forget too. The enemy knows where we're weak. But I do believe that the enemy's on a short leash when it comes to God's children. The enemy's on a short leash when it comes to you and I. I really believe what Jesus said, that you are in the palm of my Father's hand. Come on. We got a big daddy. He's going to take care of us. He knows all about it. He knows what you're going through. We don't have to worry. And we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be all hung up about what's happening around us, even in politics and our world and stuff that we see happening. Come on, how many know the devil wants you to get all wrapped up in what's broken? So you just get into a fret and a complaint, and you start to miss the bigger picture. You know what? We don't need to look at that stuff. We need to look at Him. Galatians 5:25, I just want to review a few things. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we are in the Spirit, we need to what? Learn how to walk. Now, most of us know what we should do. Especially American Christians, we are very educated. We know what we should do. Would you agree? But we don't often know how to do what we should do. Has anybody ever felt like, you know, I know, God, you want me to do this, but I don't know how to do that? We know that God gives wisdom. He gives us the ability to follow through with what He tells us to do. We are made in the image of God. God is triune. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. And so man is tripartite. We are three also. We are in His likeness. We are body, soul, and spirit. Now there are those who believe that we're only soul and body, but we're actually three parts. We see also in the temple in the Old Testament, the three chambers, the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. The most holy place represents your spirit or your heart, the very core of your being. That is a place where we commune with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may God of peace Himself sanctify you, set you apart completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, God wants to redeem your entire person. Now we're looking around. No, don't look around. Don't look at your neighbor. But sometimes we even look in the mirror when we get up and we say, "Boy, you're getting uglier every day. You're not getting any younger, you know." Or maybe some of you might say, "Well, you're getting better looking every day." But I think the reality's setting in now. I'm not getting any younger, so. We are aging, obviously. We are getting our bodies, our earth suit is wearing out, and the laws of gravity are starting to work. Shingles are coming off the roof, you know. And careful. I can say it because they're coming off the roof. So. But we're faced with the reality that our bodies, physical bodies, are dying. The awesome thing is that we're going to have a body like Jesus someday. We're going to have a glorified body. Do you know that Jesus rose from the grave bodily? It was glorified, amen? The mortal put on immortality. The corruptible put on incorruption. So we're going to have a body just like Jesus. Isn't that cool? We're going to be able to eat and drink, but we can still walk through walls. Anybody ever try to walk through a wall before? There's people that are trying to do that, you know. I am not that spiritual yet. I've got a few bruises, but I'm working at it, yeah. But, you know, our body is our earth suit. But our soul is that part that we refer to as our self. When I say myself, I'm talking about my soul. Before you and I are born again, we are body and soul with a spirit that lies dormant because of sin. Amen? There was a separation because it's in the spirit where we commune with God, where we worship God. And so there is a soul life that is able to touch that world. Amen? That's where we touch, we feel, we smell. That's what? That's your body, right? The five senses. And then there's the soul. And that is the mind and the will and the emotions. But then there's the spirit of man. And this is the place. This is the holy place, the most holy place. And we, as being a temple, are to commune with God in that place of the spirit. And so people, you know, talk about, well, we're really living, you know. They don't know Jesus. They don't have the Spirit of Christ in them, but they think that they're really living because they're living in a place where their emotions are stimulated. They're having enjoyment of life. Things at the time seem to be going well. They're really living because they have a knack to get information and to acquire knowledge, and they love to read books and stimulate their intellect. They're really living because they can do whatever they want. And nobody's going to tell me what to do because they have a will. And some of us have a very stubborn will. But all of these three things, the soul, amen, are in the soul. The will, the emotions, and the mind. That's the part of us that we consider to be ourself, right? God gave us all a very unique personality. Now, God doesn't scrap your personality when you come to Jesus. Amen? Because God designed us the way He wanted us to be. So you can be happy for who you are and be who you are. Don't try to be like anybody else. Don't miss it, right? Because you are a gift. You are a blessing. And you have an assignment here on the earth. And our first assignment is to be a habitation of God in the Spirit. To be a temple. To be a place where we worship. Amen? In spirit and in truth. When we are born again, what happens is the Spirit of Christ comes into that place, what we call our spirit. And we become spiritually birthed or alive. So when we first receive the life of Christ, there's a notable difference. Has anybody noticed a difference? Wow, things are different. Things look differently. I feel differently about things. I see things differently now. Because Christ is in me now. And there's been a level of illumination that Christ has brought to me. But then there's that other part of us that's still there. It's called the soul life. The self that still has its own agenda, still wants to have its own way, still has its own thoughts about things. Are you with me? Still likes to feel good. If it feels good, do it. That's the soul. That's the self. Now, the problem for believers is that if the self is not touched, or if it's left alone, the soul, it will continue to be obstinate, stubborn, rebellious. Are you with me? And resistant to the will of God. So God begins a process in our lives to break the soul, so that the life of Christ will come out. Are you with me? You see, the Holy Spirit wants to work through you mightily. He wants to work through me mightily, but the soul gets in the way. Because the soul wants to have its own way, and there's a conflict that's going on. Would you agree? So the process, the discipline of the Lord is a good thing because it brings us into a place where we no longer have such confidence in self. Self-confidence is a problem, folks, for Christians. Self-esteem is a problem for Christians. You see, in Christianity, it's not like the world thinks about it. Just start thinking better about yourself. You see, the problem is the self that gets in the way of the spirit man, the new man created in Christ. There's a new you in Christ, and this is the part of us that we need to focus on. We need to focus on the spirit man, and we need, as Jesus said, to deny yourself. It means to put to death yourself. So the life of Christ can be manifested through you. Now, God doesn't take away the soul so that we don't have to think anymore, all right, or process things. But the soul has to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit, who is now with us in our spirit. Because what God wants to do is release out of us living water, amen, streams of living water. And if our soul is strong, if we're strong-willed, if we're soulish people, soulish believers, then the enemy gets in the soul, he gets in the mind, and he starts to confuse things. We can't see clearly. Fasting is good because it does what? It humbles the soul. Again, it's not so that God look on how pitiful I look because I haven't eaten or drank anything, or whatever you're doing in your fast. So he said, oh, you poor thing, I'll give you everything you want. Right? No. Fasting is humbling of your soul, yourself, the selfish life. You see, the problem with most of us is we're dealing with this thing called selfishness. We're dealing with this thing called self-confidence. Come on. Self-conscious. You know what I'm talking about when we get self-conscious? Have you ever discovered that you can't be an effective witness for Jesus as long as you're self-conscious? As soon as we get into self, we shut off, amen, the flow of the Spirit. As soon as we get into self, we start to look at my own weaknesses, my own inabilities, and I begin to say, you know, I begin to agree with that part of me that's always going to say, nah, I know you should pray, but let's go do something else. When God says, go to church, sometimes the self's going to say, I don't feel like it today. I've got a little headache. I'm a little tired this morning. God says, get up and go. Why? Because he's got something for you. Not only for you, but you have something for others. This is an example, folks, of when God moves upon us to do something, there's a conflict. There's a self-life that wants to have its way and doesn't often want to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Have you ever noticed that? God says, go and witness to people, tell people about Jesus. But the self-life says, oh, I can't do that. Well, no, you can't. And so when you learn how to deny your soul or your self-life, then the Spirit of God can use you. When you starve out that part of you that wants to rebel against what God is telling you to do, now you're walking in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, if Christ is in you, you need to learn how to walk. Now, from, amen, that place of intimacy with God, and not out of the intellect, out of the will of man, yourself, right? or out of your emotions. So moving along here, there's three words for the word life in the Greek, according to Greek scholars. Number one, bios. This refers to the physical life, the outer life. Now, in Luke 21:4, when the woman with the two mites, the widow woman, remember she put in two mites, and Jesus took note of her giving because she had given out of her lack, really. But it says, for all these, Jesus said, out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. The King James says, out of her life. And that word for life is bios. That's talking about her physical life. Okay? Out of her physical possessions. And then there's a psuche. Psuche is the life that animates man. This is the natural or the soul life. This is what we're really going to focus on again, the soul. And then the other part, there's another word for life. It's called zoe. Zoe is the highest life. This is the spiritual life, folks. When the Bible refers to zoe, it's mentioning eternal life. When you hear see eternal life mentioned, it's talking about eternal zoe. This is the highest life. This is the life that as believers we are to live from. You see, if we are soulish believers, especially if we are unbroken believers, we're not going to have a great effect because the soul is getting in the way of the spirit man coming out. Are you with me? The life of Christ coming out. So what God does is He begins a process that often we want to pray out of or rebuke or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Command it to stop. And sometimes God says, nope. You're going to have to go through this. Oh, Peter said, Jesus, I'll never let you go to the cross, you know. Now, what a noble thing for Peter to say. And Jesus turned around and said, I rebuke, you know, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter was operating from his emotions and from his soul. And he loved Jesus. And he's like, Jesus, I'm not going to let you go to the cross. But he wasn't understanding how, okay, at that time, to operate from the heart or the will and the purpose of God, which would require that he would deny his soul life, even his emotions, to do the will of God. Talked about Paul this morning. He knew that he was going to go bound into Jerusalem, and he knew that chains and imprisonment awaited him, and yet he would not flinch from his assignment. Why? Because he was a man that was moved and motivated by the Spirit and not by his soul life, which would oppose any kind of inconvenience. Are you with me? And so Peter, again, you know, later on, he says, oh, Jesus, I'll never deny you. See, Peter at that time was Peter. He was strong in the soul. He's a soul man. And, you know, we can do a lot and we can accomplish a lot from our soul. But as followers of Jesus, as kingdom people and vessels that God wants to work through, folks, we're going to have to understand that that soulish part of you cannot be leading. Did you know you can do all kinds of Christian activity in the soul? You can preach sermons from the soul. You can sing and worship from the soul. But if it's not the Spirit, are you with me? I'm an emotional kind of guy. You haven't noticed that yet. Not as emotional as some, but I'm an emotional guy. So I have to be very careful that I don't allow my emotions, amen, to carry me into places or to make emotional decisions because it feels like the right thing to do. So Peter said, Jesus, I'll never deny you. And what did he do? Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, right, you'll deny me three times. Now, Peter probably walked away saying, that ain't going to happen. Sure enough, Peter had to realize that his soul power was not going to be enough. Amen? He was not going to be able to carry himself in what God was calling him to. What God was calling him to do was way bigger than he was. And in order for him to accomplish what God called him to do that was way bigger than he was, he had to be broken. And so it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly when he denied the Lord. That was the beginning of the breaking in Peter's life. I don't believe it was the end because it's a process. But it was the beginning point of a breaking in Peter's life. Where now Peter was a changed man. Now Peter wasn't so cocky. Now he wasn't so self-assured. Has anybody here beside myself discovered that I'm not quite as self-assured as I used to be? You know what's that? That's the work of the cross. That's God working in you. God's bringing you into a place where you're going to be a vessel where he's going to be able to release his spirit out of, and there's going to be greater fruit in your life. He's taking out the pruning shears. He's cutting some stuff out that's painful. There's some breaking going on. It's a breaking of the soul. We're just like that seed, you know, that's hard on the outside, and yet there's life on the inside, but the life has to come out. It has to have a place to sprout out of, amen? And so there takes a process of erosion and a chemical reaction upon the seed, amen, to cause that thing to split open so the life can come out. So you and I are just like that. We are like that seed. Jesus said, unless a kernel of seed or wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce a harvest. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Suke, that's the word for soul. The soul part of us has to be denied in order for us to be the vessels that God can use. Are you with me? And maybe you're here today and say, well, I just don't want to submit myself to that kind of stuff. And you know, you can resist God and you can stop God from using you because God still doesn't violate your will. But if you're a child of God today, the process has already begun. It began at salvation. So once you're hatched, I remember Evie Hill saying this years ago. You know what Evie Hill is? He's a black brother from the South, and he was a Baptist preacher, but he got up and he says, once you hatched, you're hatched. You can't go back. You can't go back in the shell. How many here have been hatched already? You're born again? You can't go back in the shell, folks. The shell's broken. We talked about last week the importance of building up your spirit man, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because simultaneously, as the outer man is being broken or wounded, if you will, or cracked open, the spirit has to be, we have to feed our spirit man. Why do we do that? Because your spirit man is basically the capacity for the Holy Spirit to possess you. The more you grow spiritually, the more capacity God has to work through you supernaturally. If we don't build up our spirit, man, are you with me? Then we're going to be limiting what God can do through us. So there's got to be the breaking of the soul and the building up of the spirit, man. That's why we should pray. That's why we should worship. That's why we should be in the Word. Amen? We need to be building up our spirit, man. That's why we admonish one another and we pray for one another. We sow into one another. Why? Because when you are built up, it's good for all of us. Because we're members one of another. In Colossians 2:6, he says, as you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received Christ, so now walk in him. Are you seeing it? We are to live out of the Spirit as believers. We are to be in tune with God, amen, in our spirit, so we know what God is saying. Now I gave some, if you get the CDs, there's also online the teachings, there's some examples of there. One example I used was making a purchase as a believer. You saw something with your eyes, your emotions went wild. You're like, wow, that's great, man. And then, you know, you thought about in your mind, I'm wondering if I can do this. Does it make logical sense, you know, to do this? And we get logical and we start to use our reason. And then the will says, go ahead and do it. And so you start on your way to the bank and then another voice breaks in and says, don't do it. What just happened? God interrupted. The Spirit of God just spoke to you and He warned you. Come on, you're on your way to do something and you really don't know, you know, you don't want anybody to get in your way because you're bent on doing a certain thing in your life. Maybe it's a relationship. Oh, he's so wonderful. She's so wonderful. You know, she's got to be the one for me. He's got to be the one for me. Certainly, I've heard this so many times. God sent you into my life. We're making emotional decisions. We're making rational decisions. We're looking to say, baby, you've got to be the one for me. Are you with me? In our soul. But then deep down inside, something says, don't do it. Are you with me? Who's that speaking? Somebody just interrupted your program. You just got onto heaven's frequency here for... It was a download, as we say, from the Lord. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God, right, is what helps us to discern between the soul and the spirit. Galatians 5 spells out what the works of the flesh are, you know, and the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, goodness, self-control. These things are what God wants our lives to be full of. Amen? That is a result of what? God's Spirit working out from our spirit. It's not a work, I want you to hear this, of the soul. Because in the soul, people who are not even regenerate can somehow give you the impression, but boy, they sure act like Christians. They're real nice people. They're loving people. They're good people. They're kind people. Are you with me? They're faithful people. They're very self-controlled people. But it's not the fruit of the Spirit. And if it's not the fruit of the Spirit, it means nothing in eternity. We can have all knowledge, understand all mysteries, but if we don't have love, it's all for nothing. See, the soul can be stimulated. Sometimes even in Christian circles, folks, we get into places where we're just stimulating our intellect and we're wowing one another with how much we know. And yet, if we're not moving by the Spirit and motivated by the love of God, whatever is not of love is illegal. Even correcting someone, if it's not done in love, in the Spirit of Christ and meekness, it's illegal. If we're preaching the message of the gospel and it's not by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, it's not right. Are you with me? So God begins a process of breaking the soul. Has anybody been going through some stuff in your life every day? Remember, Jesus said, if any man come after me, right? Luke 9:23. Let him deny his psuche, his soul. Deny himself. Utterly contempt. You know, utterly. It means to scrap it. In other words, you can no longer function out of that place if you're going to be my minister. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny your soul life, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus had to deny his humanity, are you with me, the soul life, so he could do the will of the Father. It didn't mean that he didn't experience pleasure or use his mind or his reason. It meant that all that part of him was under the authority of the Father. It was submitted to the Spirit. It says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. There was a breaking. There was suffering involved. There's suffering in the Christian life. We don't want to hear about suffering, but suffering is good for us. Oh, I hate it too, but you know what? It's good for us. Why? Because God's getting us into a place where there can be a greater manifestation of His Spirit, of Him. The fragrance of Christ. When you're broken, amen, and you're feeding your spirit, you can just don't have to say anything. You just get around people and they know it. Are you with me? They sense the Spirit of God. Come on, you can be going through the grocery lines and a demon will manifest. Sometimes those people behind the cashier, you know. But that's what we want. We want the glory of God to be seen. We want Christ to be seen. And so we've got to get self out of the way. Sometimes we're so self-centered, and yet we want to be used of God, but often we want to be used of God because self wants to be exalted. You see, the self part has to be denied in order for Christ to be exalted through us. Oh, there's so much to be said here. Paul, good example. You know, he said, in my weakness is my strength. In my inability is His ability. In other words, he had soul ability, but he didn't trust himself anymore. Are you with me? Peter came to a place in his life where he wouldn't trust himself anymore with the holy things of God. He had to humble his soul. Amen? Come under the authority. I can only do this unless God... I can't do this unless God's in it. Have you ever discovered, folks, that we can do more damage than good, even with the Word of God, if we are not operating in the Spirit? The soul desires recognition. Come on, anybody here? Struggle with that? The soul wants to feel good. The soul wants to have its own way. Remember John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a big S, divine spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in little s, spirit and truth. How does that work? We can't commune with God except through our spirit. Did you know that your soul does not commune with God? It's your spirit that communes with God. Sometimes we get into trouble because we are actually rationalizing and thinking things out in our soul. Are you with me? And thinking because I had the thought, it got to be God. You got people prophesying out of their soul, thinking that God, it's because their thought and they're so spiritual that it's got to be God. Have you ever done that? Ever operated out of your soul? Say amen. See, we cannot put our confidence in ourselves and be a servant of the Lord. Are you hearing me? We look at brothers and sisters, and sometimes, folks, we're judging them. Well, they must have sin in their life because look at all the stuff they're going through. Not necessarily. You see, you belong to Jesus. Amen? I belong to Jesus. He's working out something in you. It's none of my business, really. He's His servant. Amen? He belongs to Jesus. Who am I to judge my brother, right? He's working out in him. What we need to do is judge ourselves and say, Lord, here I am. I'm submitting myself to your disciplines because I want to be a vessel that is meet for use. Amen? Fully prepared unto every good work. You can work through, because I don't know about you, but I want to be a vessel that bears much fruit. Every branch in me, amen, that doesn't bear fruit, He takes away, John 15, right? But every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. Ouch. So that it was bears more fruit. So the process is long, and the process you're going through at times is not going to be comfortable. It's going to deal with your soul, but the fruit is going to be wonderful. Are you with me? That's why God hates it when we complain, because He's trying to do something in our lives that is actually good for us. And when we get into complaining, we're actually operating in unbelief. We don't believe God is good. We don't believe God likes us or loves us, because how could He allow this to happen to me? Come on, God is looking at the eternal picture. We are sometimes just so wrapped up in the right now. All I can see is this thing in front of me. All we can see is the giants in the land. But then Joshua says, or Caleb had a different spirit. He had a different spirit in him. He said, we're well able to take the land. Why? Because he believed what God said. He heard God. Amen? And even though in his soul he might have been challenged to say, you're just a little grasshopper too. Who are you? But see, he was a man that looked beyond himself to the God of all sufficiency and said, but my God is able. My God is able to bring me through this. My God is able to supply all of my needs. Look beyond it. Don't get wrapped up. It's only a test. So you'll have a testimony. And God will be glorified. And there'll be fruit. And your testimony will help others get through. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank You for Your Word. Your Word is true. We know that You love us, Lord. And You have loved us with an everlasting love. And You have drawn us with Your loving kindness, Your tender mercies. We thank You, Lord, that You saved us. We thank You that You are in our lives, Lord. Lord, we want to be those vessels that You'll work through, that You'll move through, You'll touch through, You'll heal through, You'll deliver through, You'll deliver Your message through. God, we want to be a people of the Spirit. We want to learn and know how to walk with You and commune with You in the secret place, to shut ourselves in with You, to hear Your voice, and to deny that part of us that would rebel, be stubborn and self-seeking. Oh God, we ask for Your help. And I know today, thank You, Jesus. This has been a word for some of you today. Understand that God is with you. God is for you, for your good. Romans 8:28. He's working all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You are in the very palm of His hand. Amen? So it's not like, what just happened? I didn't notice that. He's involved in the process. He's going to work out something wonderful and eternal in us. Amen. Thank You, Jesus.